Well, good morning, everyone. Wasn't the wedding yesterday amazing? It was a great day. And we want a special welcome to the people who have travelled for the wedding and they've joined us this morning. Everybody is welcome, but we want to extend a special welcome to those people that are here because of yesterday's wedding. I'm sure Chris and Trish are off on honeymoon having a wonderful time. I don't know about you, but I found it quite emotional at times. The service, the reception, just the whole thing was actually quite emotional. I think at the reception, everybody was emotional. Even the cake was in tears. The problem with my jokes is that I think I find them more funny than everybody else. Okay, now we've got that out of the way, I primed my children to laugh just in case that anybody else did. But this last month, we've been looking at a series of what happens next. We started on Easter Sunday, and we heard the story of how Jesus came back to life, and he first encountered Mary, and then we heard that he encountered the two friends on the road as they were traveling to Emmaus, and he helped them to understand what he'd been telling them as he'd journeyed with them for about 3 years. And then he broke into the disciples. We heard about how the disciples were behind shut doors, and they were afraid. And Jesus just came to be with them and gave them the words of the peace and brought peace into their fear. And then last week we were looking at how he wanted to have an encounter with Thomas, and he wanted to help cultivate that faith within Thomas. And he wanted Thomas to grow in his faith, and it was part of the journey of what happened next. And so this week we're looking at what happens next. And, you know, I was thinking, if I was Jesus, if I'd come back from the dead and I had a set period of time, we understand that Jesus has about 40 days before he's going to go up to heaven. He knows how long he's going to have. Now, if I was him, I would want as many people as possible to see me. I would want to organize some big PR event. I've put on there that there's Simon Cowell. I would probably go to him and ask, how can I make it on the news, in the media? I want as many people as possible to see me, to believe the message. I want to kind of give everybody the download, as it were, before I go back to heaven. And this is the kind of strategy that I think Jesus would have had. And I think he would have wanted to show himself and wanted to make sure that everything was set because he was about to launch the church, as we know. And what is coming up in a couple of weeks from the moment of when Jesus goes back to heaven, the Holy Spirit comes on the disciples, these men, and it comes on power with these men, and the church is born, and the church is still here today. So you'd think that Jesus would do all of this, and he would do these wonderful things, but actually, what he does is actually far more special. It's far more amazing to think what he does. And what he's going to do is very, very simple. He's not going to hire the stadiums. Okay, we see that in 1 Corinthians 15, he did actually do that. We read afterwards that Jesus at one time did show himself to 500 of the people and the followers at one time. But what he decides to do and spend some time doing is have breakfast on the beach. Now, I can't think of anything more intimate, more friendly, more relaxed, more normal, as it were, than breakfast on the beach. Although we probably don't have breakfast on the beach in Swansea, otherwise it'd be a bit too cold. But we all like food, don't we? And Jesus chooses a moment of food and a meal to invest and to download and to give his disciples a piece of his heart so they capture a little bit more of the understanding of who he is and what he's going to do. We all like food, don't we? And Jesus decides that it's time to go and have some food with his friends. Now, just to set the scene, when Jesus had first appeared to the disciples, when he had first made those encounters and revealed himself, he was in Jerusalem. And that's down the bottom of the picture here. And when he's there, he tells them this. Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." So we find that the story starts for us with breakfast on the beach in the Sea of Galilee. The disciples had done what Jesus asked them to do. They had traveled from Jerusalem and they had traveled up to Galilee as Jesus had instructed them to do. Now, one of the things is they're waiting. And the first thing that strikes me about this story is that in their waiting, they are active in their waiting. When you're waiting for God, they've gone there. Jesus had told them to go to Galilee. They weren't just sitting around doing nothing. We know that Peter is a man of action. He's a man that likes to do things. And in his waiting, he decides to just carry on and do the normal things that he's always been doing as he's waiting for God to come and meet them and Jesus to come and meet them where they are. We read this. It's time to go fishing. This is what it says. Later, Jesus appeared again to the disciples. This is how it happened. Several of the disciples were there. Simon Peter, Thomas. Thomas is now cultivating his faith and he's joining with the community of the other disciples. So he's no longer distancing himself. He's back in the community with everybody else. Nathanael from Cana, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples. Simon Peter said, "I'm going fishing." "We'll come too," they all said. So they went out in the boat, but they caught nothing. Now, fishing was normal for them. Fishing was what Peter and some of those guys would have been normally doing. It was part of their normal life. And in their waiting, they were active. They were carrying on what is normal until Jesus came to meet with them. Now, for me, that's just a great encouragement. Often we can be, I'm waiting for God to speak to me, and I'm going to sit here quietly, and I'm not going to move until Jesus tells me what to do next. But actually, the disciples are modeling here what a walk of faith is about. They're modeling, thank you, Flick. They're modeling what a walk of faith is about. That as they're waiting, there is an activity. And the activity is to carry on what they were doing before, what Jesus was doing with them before, until they get another instruction. Isn't that encouraging for us? As we are waiting, I know some of you are here, some of you are at university and you're waiting, God, what direction am I going in? What job do you want me to have? Maybe you're already thinking and thinking of some ideas and you're pursuing it and you're pushing doors. That's an activity. In your waiting for God, in your waiting for God to direct you, you're beginning to just push doors and say, I'll just carry on what I'm doing. I'll carry on studying, carry on working. But in my activity, I will wait for God, but I know he'll come. But I'll just pursue something and I'll keep looking. And I know that God will meet me where we are. And it's just an encouragement to us that in our times of waiting, and I know that some of you, that may be relevant to you where you are this morning, that you're waiting upon God for a specific thing. And in your waiting, carry on doing what you're always doing. Carry on doing what you've been normally doing. The last instruction, as it were. Allow that activity, because what we discover in the story is in the activity, Jesus comes along. And the next thing in the story is at dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach, but the disciples couldn't see who he was. And he called out to them and said, "Fellas, have you caught any fish?" "No," they replied. And then he said to them, "Throw your net to the right-hand side of the boat and you will get some." What's encouraging for me is that in our everyday, normal lives, that's when Jesus wants to break in and encounter with us. Isn't that great? Often we can sometimes, and maybe you're not, this is not true for you, but for me sometimes, we can be a little bit bogged down by the mundaneness of life, can't we? Well, we go to work or we're looking after the children and we've got to pay the bills, we've got to go shopping and do all the normal things. And sometimes we can kind of put our hopes and our dreams on some special events that are coming along or some things that we're looking forward to. And those things are great to do, but Jesus wants to encounter us in our normal, everyday situation of where we are. These people were fishing. They were just doing a normal thing for them, an everyday occurrence. And that's when Jesus comes in and encounters them and breaks into their normal everyday situation. Isn't that encouraging? We don't have to be super spiritual or go to a super spiritual event or be in a particular place. Jesus wants to meet us right where we are in our current situations, whether it's at home, in the workplace, in uni, in school, wherever we are, whatever we're doing, driving the car, Jesus is looking to break into that and encounter us in our normal everyday situations. So that's another encouragement that we can understand from this story, that Jesus encounters them exactly where they are. The second thing is that Jesus knows what's best for them. Have you noticed that in the story, they didn't recognize Jesus, but he tells them, he says, "Throw your net on the other side, the right-hand side of the boat, and you'll catch some. You'll catch some fish." Not only does Jesus want to encounter us in our normal lives, where we are, not only does he want to break into our everyday situations, it's so encouraging to know Jesus knows what's best for us. He knows what's best for you. He knows what's best for us in our normal lives. He knows what we need. He knows what we want. He knows the desires and the dreams that he has for us. And not only does he want to break in, but he wants to break in with the best. He doesn't come with a second hand or a second measure. He wants to give us. He wants to bless us. He wants to minister to us. He wants to touch us with the best. Isn't that amazing? Jesus wants the best for us. He always wants the best for us in this situation. And not only that, the other thing that strikes me about this is that he says, throw your net on the right-hand side of the boat and you will catch some. You know, Jesus not only gives them an instruction to do something, he promises something alongside the instruction. When he asks them to do something, he gives them an encouragement alongside that. Now, it's really funny that this morning that Matt and Flick had a well-known brand of furniture shop that was on the screen, didn't they? Now, I don't know about you, I've got a friend of mine, and he went and bought, I think it was a wardrobe or something from this well-known brand. And he took it home, and he got it out the box. And I remember him telling me that when he got it out the box, there was like a list, like a booklet almost of instructions. But he said that it weren't really written, it was like pictures. So he thought, oh, this is great, I know what to do. He said it spent him like 3 hours trying to put together this wardrobe from the pictures, and he was struggling, he didn't know what to do. Now, I've got to be honest, when I went to see it, it didn't look like a wardrobe. Now, I don't know what he'd done, and I don't know what instructions he'd used, but he was in a right mess, and so was the wardrobe. And he had been trying to follow these instructions, and he'd been struggling, it hadn't worked. That is not like life of faith. It's not like what Jesus wants us to walk in our daily lives and our everyday being. We have the Bible. We have the Word of God. But with it comes promises of Jesus being with us. Let me give you an example. Jesus says, where two or three are gathered, there am I with you. So when you're together in a community, Jesus promises that he'll be with you. Matthew reminded us of one at the beginning. He said, go into all the world and make disciples and I will be with you. Another promise. Here Jesus says, when you throw your net out, you will catch some fish. So it's not like the instructions for IKEA. It's like a completely different system. Jesus says, I want you to do things. There are the instructions. There are things that I'm going to know are going to help you. But I promise to be with you. I promise to encourage you. In this church, we foster the prophetic and the use of the prophetic. The prophetic comes to encourage us. Those of you that have experienced a prophetic word over your life, you know how wonderfully encouraging it is. When you hear the prophetic word, and it might be something that no one knows, but God speaks into your situation, brings comfort, brings a source of encouragement and a comfort into your particular situation through the prophetic. Because Jesus knows that when we're walking on life, we need that constant encouragement and promise from him that he's with us and that he's gone before us and he knows what we're going through. So like the disciples, I find it so encouraging as we look at this story to understand that Jesus knew that. And he said to them, when you do this, this is what's going to happen. So as we go along in the story, what happens? As you know in the story, they put their nets over the other side. And he says that the nets are so full of fish, they nearly break and they can't contain it. Then the disciple who Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. Now, we were encouraged last week, and Rachel was talking about it, to tell the stories. I don't know if you know, but there's a story very similar to this in the Gospels. And it happened when Jesus first called the disciples, and it's in Luke chapter 5. And I'm sure that when they do what Jesus said, and when they go back out into the water, they put the nets down, and they become absolutely full, I'm sure there was a moment where they go, oh yeah, this has happened before, I remember. You know, when Jesus encounters us, when we encounter Jesus, when we encounter the work of God in our lives, he reminds us of things that he's done in our lives before. He reminds us of the testimony. We're encouraging each other to share the testimony, to share the God story, what God is doing in the now as well as what he's done for you in the past. Why? Because the root of the word testimony, as we heard last week from Julian, was do it again. And we want God to do it again, don't we? And here, God is doing it again. He's reminding them of what he did in the past. He's reminding them of the initial call of God in their lives when he said, leave your nets, come follow me. He's reminding them of that. And he's saying, I'm going to do it again. And he does it in a similar story. And we understand that the first person is John. John kind of clocks it and he goes, oh, I've got it and I've understood it. And it says, the disciple whom Jesus loved is John, said to Peter, it's the Lord. Now, Simon Peter's really interesting. And another encouragement for us this morning as we look at this. Remember Simon, Peter. Up to this point, he hasn't really had any individual time with Jesus. He hasn't had an opportunity to chat to Jesus about what happened the night before Jesus died. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes when there are unresolved issues in our hearts, they kind of eat away at us, don't they? We want to sort them out quickly, whether it's in a marriage. You want to find opportunities to sort them out. The Bible says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. When it's an issue with a friend, you think the more you let it fester, it kind of builds up inside you. And you want to get it sorted. Now, one of the tendencies that we have to do that is to avoid the situation. One of the things that the longer it goes on, we avoid the resolution, don't we? And in this, Peter gives us a great example. You see what God is, his spirit is already at work in Peter. Because as soon as Peter understands that it's Jesus, even though this is his boat, even though that he was probably the organizer of this event, he puts his clothes on and he dives into sea because he wants to get to be with Jesus as quickly as possible before the other guys. He knows that it's going to take a while to bring the boat, and he dives into the water to go and be with Jesus. And I just want to encourage you that if there are issues in your life and challenges that you're facing and things that you need to resolve, be quick to go back to Jesus. Be quick to find Jesus again because he's looking for you. And Peter sets an example and a model of how we can quickly go back to Jesus and find that intimacy and that friendship again. So Peter decides to dive in, and he's got the revelation of what's going on. And we discover in the story that the net is full and it didn't break. Now I'm just going to put a little thing in here for people that like this. But before we do that, I just want to show you that we're going to look at a clip in a minute. In this story, Jesus is teaching his disciples, his heart, who he is, through the experience of the fishing. He's reminding them of what's gone on in the past. He's showing them something new, and he's about to do something new, and he's revealing to them. Remember, he's not preaching to the millions to show who he is. He's investing in his friends in an intimate and personal way, but he's doing it through experience. And sometimes those are the best ways that we can learn. So we're going to look at a clip. In the clip we look at, it's from a film called Evan Almighty. And it's about where the Morgan Freeman, the character, and if you look carefully on his white shirt, he's like the guy who's serving in the restaurant. It says Almighty. He's playing the role of God. And he's spoken to a businessman or a congressman in the United States, and he's told him to build a boat. So he's spoken to Evan, and he's told him to build a boat, and everybody's laughing at him. And actually, he's gotten to the point where we're going to meet it, where his wife and his children have left him, because this guy, Evan, he kind of grows a beard, and he's wearing these kind of Moses-type clothes, and they've decided they've had enough. Everyone's laughing at him, and it's too much for them, so they're going to go to her mother's, and they're leaving. And so this is the moment that we meet God in the form of Morgan Freeman, who's the actor, and he's playing the servant, the waiter in the restaurant. He's about to meet the mother. So let's just watch this clip.
Excuse me, can I get a refill, please?
Coming right up. Excuse me, are you all right?
Yeah. No. It's a long story.
Well, I like stories. I'm considered a bit of a storyteller myself.
My husband? Have you heard of New York's Noah?
The guy who's building the ark.
That's him.
I love that story. Noah and the ark. You know, a lot of people miss the point of that story. They think it's about God's wrath and anger. They love it when God gets angry.
What is the story about then, the ark?
Well, I think it's a love story about believing in each other. You know, the animals showed up in pairs. They stood by each other, side by side, just like Noah and his family. Everybody entered the ark side by side.
But my husband says God told him to do it. What do you do with that?
Sounds like an opportunity. Let me ask you something. If someone prays for patience, you think God gives them patience? Or does he give them the opportunity to be patient? If they prayed for courage, does God give them courage? Or does he give them opportunities to be courageous? If someone prayed for the family to be closer, do you think God zaps them with warm, fuzzy feelings? Or does he give them opportunities to love each other? Well, I gotta run. A lot of people to serve. Enjoy.
Another clip about food. But I like the way that he says that God provides opportunity for their learning. And that's what's happening in this story. With the disciples, Jesus is speaking to them. He's revealing himself. He's investing in them. They're his friends. He's about to cook them breakfast. But it's through the experience of what they're going through that Jesus is teaching them. You see, this is the same people, the same boat, the same people who caught nothing. And yet when Jesus encounters them, miracles happen. And the key to this story is that Jesus does miracles in our lives. There is transformation. There is change that takes place in our lives when we encounter Jesus. Jesus is looking to take our ordinariness and our normal lives and do something extraordinary. And we can pray for that and we can ask God for more of that. And it's such an encouragement. He's doing it with these guys and he's doing it with us. And we've all got stories that we can tell. And Jesus is looking to break in and do miracles in our lives in supernatural ways, which is really, really exciting. And that's what we want to see. So what happens now? Well, they come off the beach, and when they got there, they found breakfast waiting for them. Fish cooking over a charcoal fire and some bread. Bring some of the fish you've just caught, Jesus said. Jesus, remember what's happened. Jesus came to earth. He's God's son, and he came to earth. He came to put things right in our relationship with God. And that led him on the Friday of Good Friday to die on the cross and to take away the punishment for the things that we've done wrong, to set us free from the bondage of sin and the things that slave us, to set us free from death, that ultimate enemy, the weapon of the enemy. Jesus has just done that, and he comes back to life, and it's a great truth, and he wants to tell everybody about it. And yet, he does something here that he's been doing all through his ministry. He shows love by serving. He's cooked them breakfast. He's cooked them breakfast. Very simple. Very, what we would call maybe just a little thing. But he's serving his friends. He continues to show them that ministry is about serving. There is an attitude of serving in Jesus that he's trying to put into his disciples, that as they're going to build the church, one of the principles, one of the foundation blocks is going to be to serve. Jesus said, I did not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life. And it's really, really encouraging that Jesus here is just looking to serve his friends, serve them in an intimate, friendly way, just to experience the meal together. He cooks it for them. That means Jesus would have had to take some time to get the fire. That means Jesus is just looking to just be normal and be real with his friends and invest in them. He just did it again. Then he says to Peter, go and get the fish and then come back and find out how many there are. And one of the other things that we learn from this is that when we encounter Jesus, there is an abundance of provision. And not only in this example is there an abundance of provision. It says that so Simon Peter went aboard and dragged the net to the shore. There were 153 large fish, and yet the net hadn't torn. Now, these are not little kind of sardines and pilchards that you get from Tesco's. These are some big, I don't know, but I'm imagining they're large. It says large, so they must be large fish that are in this net. And the Bible wants to make it very clear that the net wasn't torn. There was enough capacity, enough resources to cope with the provision that God wanted to give. Isn't that encouraging for us? Not only does what God want to provide, he wants to provide abundantly, he will also enable us to have the capacity and the ability to receive the provision of God that he wants to bring, and the provision that God wants to bring into our lives. And so this is a wonderful thing. Now, just a little caveat here for the 153. I was just reading about why they put that in there. And this is one thing. This is not scriptural. It's just an interpretation and an idea that people have. And some of you will take it away and read about it. Apparently, at that time, Jerome, the 3rd century theologian, claimed that the Greeks had identified that in the Sea of Galilee at that time, there were 153 different species of fish. And so the fact that there was 153 talks of the totality of the catch of fish. And Jesus, one of the things he says, and this is just again a thought that he's saying, that as there's 153 fish, as it one fish for every species, so Jesus is showing a picture of what the church will look like. There's enough room in the net for every different tribe and tongue and language and group of people and culture. So that's just a thought that you can go with, but that's just something to put out there to you to think of. So we have the 153. Now, let me just encourage you. There is an abundance of provision. And Jesus knows in his wisdom when to give the provision. You see, the disciples had caught nothing. So they started with nothing. And then when they meet Jesus, they get something. And there is a timing issue, and there is an important issue there. And I just want to tell you just a brief testimony in the few minutes before we finish. Back in September of 2011, when Helen and I were working in Uganda, and we were praying and kind of feeling a stirring of God to think about maybe making a move and coming back to the UK. And Julian and Sarah were talking and praying with us, and we felt that it was maybe a time to consider an opportunity that was coming up within New Wine Cymru to pursue that. And there was a call to go away and to think and pray about whether this was something of God in the timing and the aspect. So when we were in Uganda, this was in late September. So during October, obviously, we're praying as a family. Helen and I are praying and we're talking. And God spoke very clearly to Helen. He said this to her: "My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going, both now and forevermore." So we found that very encouraging as we're thinking and praying. And then we said, "God, give us some more confirmation." You know, sometimes when we hear from God, we need encouragement, don't we? And we hadn't at this moment told our children. And one day, Ethan, our youngest, came to us and he said, "I've been having a dream, and I've had this same dream for 2 weeks." So we're like, "Well, wow, that's amazing. Why didn't you tell us?" He said, "Well, it's kind of strange, and I don't know what it means." So we said, "Okay, just tell us the dream." It's a very simple child dream. He said, "You were standing in Garba Community Church, where we were worshipping and working with Pastor Peter, who was here a couple of weeks ago. And he said, Pastor Peter called you and Mummy up to the front, and he gave you a bag of money, and he said, go back to Wales." And that was his dream for 2 weeks. And he said to us, he was a little bit scared to tell us because he was like, he didn't know that the other conversations that we were having. So we were like, okay, I think we need to pursue this with God and we need to kind of see what God is doing. So at the end of October, we made plans that in December we would come back and have some further conversations back in the UK. Now, because we've traveled a little bit, we know that it's important to kind of have a little budget of how much it's going to cost. So for the month back in December, we sat down together and we worked out, okay, we need this, the flights, the car, travel, everything. When we totaled it up, just to come back for that month as a family, it was going to come to £9,000. So we're like, wow, okay. I went to my bank account and I've got a picture of this. I kept the picture of it and I took a screenshot. I looked in my bank account, I had £3.72. Now, if there's an opportunity for God, I don't know what else is. So we said, God, we need a miracle. That's all we've got. We don't know where any money's going to come from. That's all we've got. So we prayed. Within a week, we had three separate money gifts that went into our account. One was for, let me just get the numbers correct. Okay. One was for £500. One was for £750. And another one was for £2,500. No one knew that we were going through this, but they just put gifts in as the prompting of God had moved them. So we had enough at the end of November to buy our tickets and come back. So 1 month has gone. We've got our tickets and now we're coming back. December, as we travel around and see our family and our friends, some people begin to give us little gifts and so on. End of December, we're able to pay the bills for December. And then in January, we go back. And as we go back in January, there's still some bills on our credit card from traveling around for fuel and all the other things and some of the car bills. And the bill is due on the 26th of January. So on the 25th of January, I go into my account and I check and see how much money we've had since the 31st of October, the £3.72 moment. And I add it all up and we've had £8,000. That's amazing. But I've still got a bill and my bill is £1,000 short. And it's a day to go until I pay the bill. But by now, you see, because of what God has done, my faith is encouraged. He's cultivated faith. And I say, God, you've done this much. Please do the rest. By the next day, by the time before I paid my credit card bill, I looked in my account, an anonymous gift, £1,000 in the account. That's what God does. It's an abundant provision. It's gracious. We didn't deserve it. We're just ordinary folk in an ordinary life. But Jesus wants to come in and he wants to encounter us and make a change. And the story that these disciples is where Jesus encounters them and provides them with the fish and then provides this beautiful breakfast and sitting down together is what Jesus wants to do with all of us. You see, Jesus wasn't just cooking breakfast. He was creating, the last thing I want to say is this, he was creating an environment for relationship, intimate friendship, and to share his heart of who he is and what he wanted to do. Jesus is constantly looking to provide opportunity for us to encounter his heart of who he is, his love. And that's the message of this story, that as Jesus was cooking breakfast, as he was preparing some breakfast for his friends, as he was thinking about leaving and investing in these disciples before he goes back to heaven, it's done through relationship. It's done through friendship. It's done through the intimacy of a normal friendship and a meal together over breakfast. This is what it says. Now come and have some breakfast. None of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Then Jesus served them the bread and the fish. And this was the third time that Jesus had appeared to his disciples after he had been raised from the dead. Jesus was creating an opportunity for real and authentic relationships with him. And that's the heart of who Jesus is. Jesus is about relationship. Relationship with us. The relationships that we have with one another in our faith community, in our church, in our journey of life together. Not just in this community, but the relationships we have with others, in our families, in our schools, in our colleges. Jesus is looking to encounter us and to break into our relationships and to help them to be more real, to value one another, to spend time with each other. And that's why as a church we put a lot of emphasis on some of the events that are coming up, because we are too wanting to create opportunities. Not just for relationships, but for people to encounter Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's all about encountering him. It's all about people discovering his purpose for your life. It's all about discovering that Jesus of the Bible loves you and wants to come into a relationship with you. It's all about discovering that Jesus wants to break into our ordinary. He wants to meet us exactly where we are in the normal everyday and just break into our ordinary lives. I'm just going to share one story with you. Simon Brown, who's at the back there, actually, works in the post office. And he was telling me the other day that he had an encounter with some of his friends that he works with. And one of the people that he worked with, Simon said something, and this friend said to him, "Oh, I thought you were going to swear there." Simon said, no, I'm not going to swear. And the friend said, "You know what? I know you don't swear. And not only do I know that you don't swear, I've stopped swearing since I've been around you." That's a great testimony, isn't it? It's very simple, but it's the presence of Jesus in one of us, in our normal everyday lives, but it has an effect on others. It's that encounter with Jesus. It doesn't necessarily have to be our words, it's our actions. So Simon's actions of having a pure tongue and a pure words has an effect. He doesn't need to, I'm sure he shares his faith, but his actions of what he does has an effect on others around him. We can relate to that, can't we? Because we are encountering people all the time. And our prayer is that people will encounter Jesus through us. And that's the heart of what is going on here. Breakfast on the beach, get into heart of know Jesus. And just as we finish, I'm going to finish now because we're running out of time. You know, in this story, Jesus is showing us that he's the Lord of every situation. And some of us need to hear that. Some of us are going through challenging times this morning. Some of us are going through times where things aren't as straightforward as we think and we want them to be. That's okay. That's normal. That's everyday. That's life. Jesus is saying to the disciples, they hadn't caught anything. Jesus says, "I'm the Lord." Because what is the reaction? John says to Peter, "It is the Lord." Jesus is the Lord of your situation. And you can be encouraged with that this morning. The second thing is that Jesus shows his love by serving others. And if that's what Jesus did, then that's what we can do. We can show our love for him, for one another, and for others by serving them in the way that we live. And the last thing is that Jesus does provide, both abundantly and graciously. We don't deserve it, we don't earn it, but he gives it at the right time, in his wisdom, when it's ready to be given. So let's just bow our heads and pray and just ask God to just encourage us this morning. The story of the breakfast on the beach, encourage you that it was done in the intimacy of relationship. Jesus is encouraging us he wants to cultivate those opportunities for relationships and friendships. Jesus wants to break into our everyday situations. And we can all relate to that because we're all ordinary people. And Jesus wants to break into our ordinariness. But when he breaks in, and when we encounter Jesus, and miracles happen, transformation happens, change happens. Some of you need to just hear the word from God that what he's asked you to do, keep doing it. And there's a promise that he'll be with you. And the encouragement, he says, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." Let's just be quiet as we wait upon God and just allow the Holy Spirit to just draw out something for each of us. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for the way that you cooked breakfast on the beach for your friends. We thank you for the miracle of the 153 fish. We thank you for Peter and the disciples, their eagerness to be active in their waiting upon you, the example that gives us and the encouragement that gives us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're the Lord of every situation. And that's not just words, but it's truth. And Holy Spirit, you just bring that truth into our hearts to encourage us and to strengthen us, whatever we're going through. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the example of serving one another. Help us not to be tired of serving. Help us not to be weary of it. Help us to be infused again, that as we serve, we demonstrate and show love for one another and for others and for you. Lord, we thank you that you're a gracious giver and an abundant giver. And you know what we need when we need it at the right time. And we thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.